Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and remember you can subscribe for free to our Brian Lehrer Show daily podcast. Every day we pick one segment from the program for your iPod or MP3. To sign up for our free daily podcast, just go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Well, as the Washington Post tells it this morning, South Carolina's Republican Party will move its 2008 presidential primary forward to January 19th, according to sources speaking yesterday, a decision almost certain to spark a cascade of calendar changes that could push the start of voting to New Year's Day or even to before Christmas. Let's find out what's going on. And you all said the debates were starting too early. My guest now is Leroy Chapman. He's the government and politics editor at the State newspaper in South Carolina. And Leroy Chapman, thanks so much for coming on with us today. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
What exactly can you confirm that the South Carolina GOP is doing?
Caitlin Dawson, who is the chairman of the South Carolina Republican Party, had a news conference up in New Hampshire, and he did confirm that the South Carolina primary will move to January 19th.
That's just this morning, that news conference?
That's just this morning, right.
And what about the state Democratic primary?
The Democratic primary still is scheduled for January 29th, I'm sorry, and that date South Carolina shares with Florida. No word yet on if the Democrats here will move that. They certainly have that option to do so by state law. They can move it to another Tuesday or another date. But right now they're still on January 29th.
So whether they move or not, and that's a little weird having the primary for the two parties in the same state on different days, but this seems to be causing a domino effect, what the Republicans are doing, because South Carolina's Republicans are moving back to January 19th. Other states might push their primaries even before that?
Yes, from what we understand, New Hampshire is going to move theirs back, and Iowa, which is, I think they have a state law which says they have to be first, might have to move theirs into December, which would be awfully early, certainly, and I don't think the campaigns would be happy with moving it that early.
What's this all about? What's the South Carolina Republican Party trying to prove?
They want to be first in the South, and they are proud of that distinction of, one, the eventual nominee in the Republican presidential primary process has always been the nominee here in South Carolina, the eventual nominee. So Reagan won here, Bush won here, first Bush won here, Dole won here. So if you win here in South Carolina, it's sort of like a bellwether kind of state where you can win elsewhere. This is a red state. It's an awfully red state. And if you're in a Republican primary, you're running to the right, of course, to win. That's the strategy that's generally accepted. And here you can run to the right here.
So I guess Florida had recently changed its primary date to January 29th to match South Carolina, so it could be first in the South, at least tied for first in the South.
Right.
So now South Carolina is moving up in order to beat Florida. Have the candidates been spending less time in South Carolina this year than in the past in order to get to Florida?
No. Actually, they have not. So that hadn't materialized. And when Florida moved their date, we talked to all the campaigns, and the campaign said that South Carolina is still important to them. And it is important, again, for those reasons, although obviously it stands to reason that Florida has a much larger population. And, yes, it is important. But just in the primary process, just as Iowa is important for its reasons or New Hampshire, South Carolina is still important in that process. And it's for the reasons I said earlier. This is a very conservative state. And, it is, again, a bellwether. If you can run well here, you can run well in other parts of the country as in a Republican primary. The diversity of Florida certainly means that probably more mainstream Republicanism wins there. But in the early primary states, it's going to be the issues that are bedrock Republican issues that you're going to win on. So that's one of the reasons why. And plus, it's just cheaper to run here. The media buys here are certainly a lot less than they would be in Florida. So the campaigns, I think, themselves, in terms of spending money, would rather spend it in South Carolina than spend it in Florida.
Right, I got
much
that.
Much more expensive, yeah.
Yeah. How's it going in South Carolina politics right now? Who's leading on the Republican side?
On the Republican side, Rudy Giuliani has been leading. And So what we have here, if you look at the polling, Fred Thompson seems to be still a wild card, because if you insert him in some of the polling, he polls as high as second. So Giuliani consistently has been the leader. John McCain, who has been consistent, but he has also slipped back in some polling, and he's had some issues that have been, of course, well publicized with his financial woes. But he's still a player here. In fact, he's going to be here Monday, and he's spending 3 days in South Carolina. And he's been here over the past two to three weeks. It's been a lot of time. So
with your knowledge of South Carolina and South Carolinians, are you surprised that Giuliani is doing as well as he is, given his views on some of the social issues?
Yes. The conventional wisdom says that South Carolinians prefer pro-life candidates. This is a state where twice or three times divorce candidate, I keep forgetting which, candidate certainly might have some problems because those social issues are important. But Giuliani, has run really, really well on his national security issues. And that's we did some polling here, and that's polling very well, national security as one of the top issues. So I think that's where his appeal is right now in the state.
So do you think it says something about our times, or do you think it says something more about the relatively weak field other than Giuliani?
I think it probably says a little bit of both. I think the weakness of the field is part of it as well. Because if you insert Thompson in that, he immediately shoots to the top. And part of it, of course, has to do with his record is certainly more conservative than the former mayor. But also, too, he's a Southerner. And I think the Reagan appeal, part of that appeals to the South Carolina base. So I think the weakness of the field.
Of
so
course,
still,
he's not in the race yet. And
right.
Everybody says, you know, with his folksy style and coming out of acting, he may be the next Ronald Reagan. But I've seen him in some interviews. And, you know, he looks kind of not passionate to me very frequently when he speaks, let's put it that way. So I wonder if, you know, rather than being a little bit elderly and folksy like Ronald Reagan, whether he's going to come off as a little bit elderly and disconnected like Bob Dole.
You could always have that. Of course, a winning campaign, a candidate has to have some fire in his belly, and right now that remains to be seen whether or not he has that. We had expected that he'd be an announced candidate by now. In South Carolina, where we're watching it, we're looking at whether or not he's building the campaign infrastructure that he needs, and I think that's probably proven a little bit tougher than maybe once thought. But, you know, again, it's still early, and nobody really knows what's going to happen. But I think you're right. I mean, you've got to want it to win it.
You know what's funny? People in South Carolina are leaning toward Rudy because of terrorism. People in New York, which is, of course, much more likely to be the site of a terrorist attack, are a little more skeptical of him. Do you think South Carolinians are personally afraid of being victims of terrorism at home?
Well, you know, we're not maybe the most target-rich environment by far, but we've got a coast, and we've got the second busiest seaport here on the East Coast that's down in Charleston. We've got nuclear facilities here, too, that would be hard targets that certainly could be. So if you live in places along South Carolina, if you live along the coast, if you live in the upstate or middle part of the state, but we've got nuclear facilities, including, of course, the Savannah River site, which is a federal facility there that makes nuclear material there. Yeah, there's some hard targets there, but I guess your question is certainly we're not, we don't have huge metropolitan areas where people are.
Yeah, and I don't even really mean to single out Giuliani. The Republicans
sure.
in general poll well when the issue is terrorism, but that polling tends to be, for some reason, more salient, more a trigger of how people will actually vote in areas like South Carolina than areas of New York.
Right.
But
I think Giuliani's done well too on the war. So if you take the two issues apart, this is a military state. It's heavily military. We have many military bases, and I think I saw a study a while back that said that South Carolina is like one of the top five states in the country in terms of the proportion of veterans that live there. So the Iraq War here is still a big issue, and I think
that would indicate then that people currently in the military and veterans are still rallying around the war.
Yes, I think that's probably the case here, and I can't say that's the case everywhere, but I think that's the case here. I think our polling has shown that people are still rallying around the war here.
We're
we've got a National Guard unit coming home from Iraq tomorrow, and
uh-huh.
you know, that's been an issue here, you know, really about supporting the troops. And I think that in that vein, Giuliani's done very well.
Do you think people in the military communities in South Carolina buy the line that supporting the troops means supporting the war policy? Because, you know, a lot of Democrats would say, well, those are two really very different things, and the Republicans always try to conflate them. Do you think that argument works in military communities?
I think it has, but only to a degree, because here, if you look at our military installations, so Fort Jackson is our largest installation. It's a training base. And so that's certainly a lot different than some of the other places that have soldiers who are at the ready to go. And so I think that that causes a little bit of a different mix. But to your point about are we differentiating, I think the campaigns and candidates themselves, to their advantage, are lumping them together. So when they talk about it, they talk about it in terms of supporting the war means supporting the troops. And I think they've probably here done an effective job of saying what the Democratic strategy of timetables is cutting and running, and that it would imperil the troops and it would endanger them. So I think they've sort of won a little bit the language of the war a bit to make people, you know, combine those two issues, I think, that can be distinct.
So before you go,
sure,
what would make this leapfrogging stop if Iowa and New Hampshire now are going to leapfrog back in front of South Carolina? Are we going to be talking to you again in 2 weeks and find out that, you know, South Carolina is going to vote on Thanksgiving?
You know, you never can say never, but I think this might be it, just simply because of the logistics of having the campaign and vote and all the things you have to do in order to set a date to have an election. I think pretty soon we have to set these things in stone. The Republicans had wanted this done by next month, and that just speaks to the dominoes being set up and in a way that people can predict.
All right.
So I think the scheduling to this point, I think, is going to be set in stone.
Primary dates in flux, as we just heard from Leroy Chapman, the government and politics editor at the state newspaper in South Carolina, with their Republican chairman confirming this morning that they are moving their Republican primary up to January 19th, New Hampshire, South Carolina, New Hampshire, Iowa, Florida, all expected to respond. Thanks so much for coming on with us.
All right, thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up in a minute. As I get ready to go on vacation after today, your recommendations for one nonfiction book for me and other August vacationers to read. Call us up, 212-433-WNYC, with your book picks, 433-9692.